Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Prayer is one of the most powerful ways to find hope and inner peace. The Power of Prayer and Its Working by Walton Weaver is a wonderfully written devotional book that will encourage you to reflect on your spiritual life, guiding you on a transformative journey through the realms of prayer. This beautifully written book explores the profound impact of prayer on finding hope, experiencing inner peace, and deepening one's relationship with God. Walton Weaver has been preaching the gospel full-time since 1963, working with independent, non-denominational Churches of Christ in Arkansas, Tennessee, Mississippi, as well as Texas. Walton Weaver, author of The Power of Prayer and Its Working, thinks most people do not know about prayer, featured at the Hong Kong Book Fair, is our guest on This Week in America. Walton, the pleasure to have you with us. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Rick. I'm so glad to be here. I love to talk about the subject, and I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Well, looking forward to your thoughts. The book is so well written, receiving rave reviews, featured, as I said, at the Hong Kong Book Fair. So it's an international success in motivating people worldwide, not just here in the country. What was the primary reason for writing this book? How did the book, The Power of Prayer and Its Working, come about?
Well, it came about because years ago, I felt like I needed to make a study of the subject of prayer myself. It was written several years ago, but I'm just now giving it a worldwide circulation. And I felt like that there were things that were missing, you know, in my attempt to pray effectively, you know, in my relationship to God. And so I wanted to make a biblical study, a thorough study, and that's what I came about with when I finished my study. As I wasn't really planning to write a book about it, but I wanted to make the personal application that I felt like I needed to make, you know, but I needed greater knowledge and awareness, you know, of what one's relationship to God should be, because I thought that would help me, you know, to be more effective in my approach to God. And it really did prove, you know, successful, but I don't claim that I have yet received all of the benefit that one should be able to receive from their prayer life. But it was an enjoyable study, and I think that any who would see fit to buy the book, you know, would find it, you know, profitable, because it's so thorough, you know, and I use a lot of scripture. I'm a person that really believes in scripture, and I want to make sure that I'm following it when I'm making a study, like on the study of prayer. And so that's what gave rise to me becoming interested more and more as my work continued. And as my life, you know, was needing improvement in the prayer side of things. And that's really the thing that challenged me. And I'm really grateful that I made that study, and I'm more than happy to share it with the world now.
Well, there are people that are very grateful you have shared it. The book is thorough, backed up by thorough research and scripture, as Walton says. The book is The Power of Prayer and Its Working by Walton Weaver. Book available at Amazon, wherever books are sold. And a link to Amazon and Walton's page there by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Could you explain the three-part definition of prayer that you discuss in your book? Very important. If you would just briefly explain that to us.
Okay. Well, I look at it as having, you know, a threefold aspect to it. First of all, of course, people generally think of prayer as being desire, and it is that, you know, but it's more than that. Paul says in Romans 10, verse 1, that his heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. So he makes a distinction between the desire aspect of prayer and the prayer itself. And so the prayer itself is this desire expressed. It can be expressed silently. I'm not saying you have to speak words aloud so that others could hear you when you're praying. Hannah is a beautiful example of that. You know, she spoke, but all people could see was just her lips moving. They didn't hear the words, but she was praying to God. So we can pray, but words are important. They are part of prayer, and they must be expressed to God. That's the third aspect of it. It's not to someone else or to a thing or something like that, but prayer expressed to God.
How might an understanding of the will of God, as it's spoken of in Scripture that you point out, help Christians believe that prayer could really work for them? I think that's so important to understand that prayer can work for us.
Yes, I think we need to make a distinction between what is the revealed will of God as over against what is the providential will of God. The revealed will of God is something like what Jesus spoke of in Hebrews chapter 10. You know, in verse 7, you know, he talked about the scroll of the book, you know, the volume of the book, you know, that it was written concerning him. And specifically, he said it spoke of his doing the will of God. So that tells me that God reveals his will in and through Scripture. That's exactly what Jesus was referring to there. But there's the providential work of God, you know, as well. God works providentially. He's superintending, you know, the whole creation, the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 1 and verse 3, so that all things in that passage, you know, refers to the creation. God gives greater grace, and he exalts those who humble themselves, you know, before him, James says. He gives wisdom. God is involved in our lives, is what I'm saying here. And that's through the providential will of God, that prayer is effective and it is powerful because God is not some distant figure, you know, that we can't reach and petition and look for answers, you know, and help from the one to whom we're offering up our prayers to. He gives wisdom to those who ask in faith, James says. And Jesus himself said that he gives good things to his children when they ask and when they seek and when they knock. So we're looking at results when we're praying unto God. And this is what I'm saying the Scripture is doing when it's giving instructions like that or information like that. It's talking about God's involvement in our lives. So there's the revealed will, that's Scripture. That's where we learn what God wants us to be and yes. wants us to do. And then there's the providential will of God.
Walton Weaver is our guest on the program. That's W-A-L-T-O-N, Weaver, W-E-A-V-E-R. If you're Googling, the book is The Power of Prayer and Its Working, Things Most People Do Not Know About Prayer, book available wherever books are sold. You talk about a time to pray. Are there set times for Christians to pray?
No, the Bible doesn't lay down times, you know, for like the Jews came to have time, certain times, you know, to pray, like yes. in the morning and at noon and in the middle of the afternoon, you know, but God never stipulated that. It's not something legislated by God. Anytime, you know, anywhere, and for whatever purpose, you know, that one may have at any given moment, prayer is the proper thing for us to engage in, you know, when we need comfort and when we need inspiration, we need help along the way. There are a lot of issues in life and a lot of obstacles, a lot of problems that people face. And prayer is one of the avenues that God has for his children, you know, to feel at ease. And, you know, our Father, which art in heaven, we have a relationship established there that there's no time, you know, any given situation that one may be facing, you know, would be appropriate as long as we're praying according to his will. That's another area of our study, you know, here that there are certain conditions, you know, that we need to be careful about. But prayer is appropriate any time and at any moment.
So much there. Our guest on the program is Walton Weaver. The book is The Power of Prayer in Its Working. So many questions. I want to go back to what do you mean in the book when you talk about here, there, and everywhere on the subject of constancy of prayer? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, that actually I was touching on that right at the end of what I was saying before here. You know, that prayer is appropriate any time. You know, and if we go into the New Testament and we look at Jesus' teaching on it, you know, he wants us to pray always. Paul says, pray without ceasing. So prayer, you know, is doesn't have stipulated times, you know, or incidents, specific incidents where it's only appropriate. It may be appropriate, you know, even while you're driving down the highway, or you might be in a certain situation facing a lot of difficulties in your life. It could even be a marriage situation, or you know, whatever. As long as we're seeking the will of God, and we want to do what God would have us to do in a given situation, God will hear us, because He will hear man anytime if that person is willing to hear God. You know, we wouldn't want to be praying a prayer where we're asking God to do things for us, but we don't want to do things for Him. You know, we want to be involved, and we want to be involved, you know, in the Lord's relationship to us.
Let me ask sort of an offshoot of that. What are the leading qualities, characteristics of prayer as revealed in Scripture? I want to make sure we're doing this right.
Well, those qualities, God wants holiness in His people. Be holy, for I am holy, is the way James words it in James chapter 1. You know, so He's always, whether it was with the Jews under the old covenant or whether it's with Christians, you know, under the new, He's always wanted His people to be holy. He wants them to be like Him, not perfect like Him, but live a life of holiness. So, you know, one of the greatest teachings, of course, in the teaching of Jesus and the apostles is love. You know, he wants to see love. We have love one for another as brethren, that we love our enemies, you know, that we want the best, you know, for others as well as for ourselves. So love, you know, humility, watchfulness, you know, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and He left His disciples behind, he wanted them, you know, to pray, you know, while He was going to separate Himself from them, go forward a bit and pray. And each time He came back and they were asleep. And that's where He taught on that great lesson of watchfulness. You know, He said, you have to be awake, you know, that the body is weak, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is strong. You know, we have to be alert. So watchfulness is one of the qualities, you know. So it's things like that, you know, love and humility and watchfulness. And even expectancy, you know, expect that God will hear what we're praying to Him and will respond favorably, you know, to the things that we need.
In the book, you give us, as you just did, examples of conditions of acceptable prayer. The book is so well written. It's a guide for all of us, a devotional book. The book is The Power of Prayer in Its Working. In the chapter on the content of prayer, one thing you point out is that Christians should pray for their enemies. Will you please maybe explain how you use Jesus and Paul as examples of people who prayed for their enemies? We all need maybe a good lesson in that, so we include those people in our daily prayers.
Sure. Jesus, of course, you know, prayed for those people who were putting Him to death. You know, it shows you that He had love for His enemies. So He is one of the greatest examples that we have, you know, of someone praying, you know, for their enemies, you know, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, you know. But of course, he didn't expect God to forgive them in an impenitent, you know, if they're not willing to repent, state. But he does pray for their best interest. It's kind of like Paul praying for his own people. You know, he prayed that they might be saved. But Paul didn't expect God to save them until they came to a change of life, you know, come to believe in Jesus Christ and, you know, and repent of their sins and so forth. There are conditions there, and we have to meet the conditions, you know, in order for God to answer our prayer.
I want to go back and touch a few minutes left in the program. Our guest is Walton Weaver, the author of The Power of Prayer and Its Working, Things Most People Do Not Know About Prayer. Let's go back to Matthew 24:20 as an example of one praying for protection from harm. That was an example you used of providential involvement of the affairs in one's life. How important is that to understand that concept?
Well, I think I was dealing there with the subject of, you know, can we pray for physical things?
Yes.
You know, and he gave an example of a woman, you know, the Jews, of course, were limited on how far they could travel on the Sabbath. And if a woman was carrying a child, you know, and he told them to pray that it wouldn't happen when they were going to be destroyed, the Jews were going to be destroyed. He said, pray that it won't happen, you know, at the time. And so Jesus is aware that there are difficulties sometimes in our life, and we can pray even if it involves physical things, you know, such as, you know, a destruction that's going to take place, and you might be with child, and you can't travel but just this amount of distance, you know. So I just use that as an example of how we can pray for physical things as well as for spiritual things.
What do you mean by Christ's intercession on earth and in heaven?
Well, Peter is a good example in Jesus' encounters with people. You know, Jesus told Peter on one occasion that he had prayed for him, that his faith would not fail him. And that particular incident, he said, I have prayed for you. That's intercession. I'm praying on your behalf, not just for me, but for you. And we can pray prayers of supplication, intercession ourselves, but Jesus did it for others and led the way to show what it is for him to be our great intercessor. The Holy Spirit is also an intercessor, according to Romans chapter 8. You know, you have him standing by our side, pleading our case and letting it be known exactly in words that we were not able to find, perhaps, you know, where God would know what our deepest desires of the heart really are as we're trying to express them. We don't always have the best words and know exactly how to say it. You know, but Christ in heaven now is also our intercessor. So you've got Christ and the Holy Spirit as intercessors. That's the one who stands by the side of another and pleads his case for him. Not the same thing, you know, as a mediator, which I talk about a little later.
We're unfortunately out of time. The time has gone by too quickly. I just want to go back to the beginning. You talked about writing this book, and you did this basically for yourself so you could be better at prayer, a study of prayer, a deep study of prayer. This book is helping so many people, reading reviews. It's giving them a new perspective on prayer, how to use it more effectively. What did this study, what did this writing the book do for you and your prayer life?
Well, it gave me a greater understanding of God and a greater understanding of Jesus Christ and of great people, you know, like Paul and Peter and other apostles and other men who have written about prayer, you know, in our New Testament. It helped me have a better perspective, you know, and see how important prayer was in the lives of people in the first century who were followers of Christ, that they lived you know, and they practiced prayer. And they were people who were really striving to be the best that they could be, though they were imperfect people just like we are. And yet they found great value, you know, in this communication that they could have with God, and we can too. And this is the great thing about the study of the subject, is that even though you may not get immediate, you know, results that you're seeking, and exactly what you're seeking for, you'll come to have a better understanding of the subject of prayer and of the people who were people of prayer, even people in the Old Testament as well as in the New. You know, and it's a great power in one's life to have the knowledge, but the knowledge itself is not enough. You know, we have to actually be a people of prayer. We have to want to progress, you know, in the way we word prayers and the way we try to put into life, you know, our actual results that we've learned, you know, from Scripture itself.
The Power of Prayer and Its Working is the book we've been discussing by Walton Weaver. The book, Reader's Magnet Self-Publishing and Marketing Company, has been working with Walton in getting the book out to the public. What's it been like working with Reader's Magnet in sharing the world to the world your message in The Power of Prayer?
Well, it's wonderful that they're a good group of people, and they've always been good to me and been very helpful and understanding, and they're very good at what they do, and I've enjoyed it very much and appreciate their work.
Well, the book has been displayed, like I said, at the Hong Kong Book Fair. It's a book available all across this country and the world as well, The Power of Prayer and Its Working, Things Most People Do Not Know About Prayer, by Walton Weaver, our guest on the program. Walton, a pleasure having you with us. So much more we could talk about. Hopefully we'll have a chance to continue this, but I appreciate the time today. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Okay, Rick, thank you. It's been a joy for me, too. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, it's been our pleasure to allow you to come on the program and to talk about this very important topic. The name of the book, again, The Power of Prayer and Its Working, Things Most People Do Not Know About Prayer, by Walton Weaver. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.